When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now, all across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It is Live and Local Now. And the day after the governor supposedly unveils the roadmap to recovery, the problem is a lot of people I've talked to over the course of the last 12 hours are more confused now than they were before the speech. For reaction to what he saw and heard, let's check in with Jim Small. He is running for Assembly District 2, and he joins us. Jim, first of all, how about you and your family? How are you guys coping through all this coronavirus thing?
Kevin, thanks for having me on the show. We're doing fine. We get out and we walk 35, 40 minutes a day, and we see a lot of families out walking, and we wave hi from an appropriate social distance and go about our business. So we're doing okay.
Let me ask you, a lot of people are probably around the state saying, see, District 2, that's the old John Hambrick district, is it not? And can you give us the parameters geographically of where 2 is?
Yes, AD 2, Assembly District 2, is on the far west side, and it is west of Fort Apache, south of Summerlin Parkway, north, mostly north of Desert Inn, now, and then goes out to the mountains. Of course, no district can be normally shaped, but that gives you an essential idea of where it is. A couple miles around Red Rock Casino.
And is this the longtime district for John Hambrick?
John Hambrick is the incumbent and termed out, term limited, assemblyman here. He's an incumbent Republican, and I'm running in the Republican primary, hoping to replace John. We're looking forward to the primary, even though it's a mail ballot operation. We're out there doing our thing, and we're moving forward.
Are you having to change anything, knowing that this is a mail-in ballot and that anything postmark on or before June 9th will be eligible? Those afterwards won't be. How are you adjusting to that?
Well, you heard my laughter there, and I'm laughing because of the absolute requirement that things have to be adjusted, and postmarks are probably pretty crazy. We have a number of mailers that were mailing. A mailer that we had mailed on the was dropped from the printer on the 14th, did not arrive until, depending on whose home it was, the 28th or 29th, 2 weeks later. And we were a wee bit upset about that. People said to us, we were referencing an event we were having, a virtual event, and I got a number of calls about it. and we checked in with the Postal Service, and their explanation was, get this, mail that comes to bulk mail that comes here in Las Vegas is transferred from Las Vegas to Phoenix for routing and then returned to Las Vegas. The post office claims, and probably correctly, rightly so, that they're very short staffed due to coronavirus, and there are a number of concerns about delivery. And it's taking 7, 10, 14 days for bulk mail to get out. So if a candidate does not adjust their campaign significantly, they're going to have all their mail arriving after the primary election is over. For those who say a week's enough time, I can tell you from personal experience, maybe a week isn't enough time. And I would encourage people to return their ballots very shortly after they get them in early May.
And just out of curiosity, I imagine it's going to make election night kind of anticlimactic. Because you're not going to know anything for maybe a week or maybe 10 days.
Unfortunately, that's going to be the case. Wow. I realistically think this election effectively will be over by the 20th to the 25th of May. And I'm saying that because ballots are going out between the 4th and the 9th. I don't believe that people are going to hold their ballots for a month before they return them. And I don't think there will be many people voting on Election Day itself, even though there will be at least one physical place for them to vote. So we have to have most of our campaigning done, in my mind at least, in the middle of May or no later than the third week of May.
What did you think of the governor's speech last night, his press conference, his briefing? People I've talked to so far are more confused now than they were going into this thing. What about for you?
Well, I'm not confused. I didn't hear anything. So I had nothing to be confused by. His comment that he was going to suggest that professional associations develop rules, ideas, parameters, protocols for their organization, their people, actually did have a certain appeal. I was thinking about my desperate need for a haircut. I know some people on the cosmetology board, so it's quite likely they'll be able to develop some realistic, appropriate safety standards so I can go get a haircut. I saw Sisolak's haircut last night. His wife gave it to him, and I'm going to wait to get my haircut until I can have a professional do it.
Come on. Hey. You don't trust a family?
I trust my family with my life. I don't trust them with my haircut.
There you go.
That's just me. And I suspect a lot of other folks as well. I've seen some ladies try to do their own hair, and it hasn't worked out particularly well. You know, back in the olden days, 150 years ago, 100 years ago, even 70 years ago, we did a lot of this stuff ourselves or we did it at home. But we've lost those sorts of skills because we haven't had to use them. And last night, actually, my wife and I were outside looking at the stars, beautiful Vegas evening. She was saying, do you want your hair cut? And I said, no, hon, really, I don't. And she said, but I could buy clippers. And I said, hon, you'd have to take all of my hair off if you bought clippers and give me a buzz cut. I'm not going to be having a haircut until this thing is done. So we'll have to wait. And hopefully we'll be back sooner than later. Sisolak didn't really say anything. It was probably inappropriate for him to be telling Good Morning America what was going to happen here in Nevada before he told us here in Nevada. He got, I don't know, I don't want to say he was bushwhacked by the people there, but maybe he was too interested in the media coverage and not as interested in keeping us abreast here in Nevada. He didn't say anything last night, Kevin, so I'm not I'm underwhelmed. How's that? I'm underwhelmed by what we heard. And luckily, at least a few organizations, such as golf courses, can go back to some sort of semblance of normalcy with one person per cart and separation. And we can actually start picking up more stuff curbside, and that's going to be good. But we didn't hear much from him last night. We have to get our state back to work because the economic damage is so severe that it's going to take us potentially years to recover. In early March, I think March 5th or 6th, 7th, somewhere, I wrote the governor a letter and suggested he call a special session of the legislature. I was the first candidate to do that. And, of course, he has not, even today. And he's still acting under the emergency powers that he perceives that he has. The legislature is going to have to start dealing with the economic impact of this devastating closure upon our state, and we need to get the legislature in session to be offering some way, some hope for many of the small businesses that are on the brink of bankruptcy to go forward. Yes, the federal loans are out there. Yes, there is some help from the federal government. But the signs are already going up on at businesses where people are now closing because they just don't have a rescue plan, a light at the end of the tunnel. So we desperately need to do something more for our local businesses.
Hey, Jim, just one thing you said, the emergency powers perceived by the governor. Are you questioning the validity? There are people that are questioning the constitutionality of a lot of the stay-at-home orders. Some people have even gone to court to question their governor. Are you questioning the governor's authority?
So when Lombardo said he would not enforce that provision of the governor's initial order, I was certainly supportive of that. He does have certain emergency powers. He's probably coming towards the end of what authority he has under the Nevada revised statute. So the short answer is, while I'm appalled and not at all happy with what he's done, he does have, under our law, the opportunity, the authority to make some of these decisions. Some of them have simply been wrong, such as a decision prohibiting religious services in people's cars on Easter. Come on. No one was going to get coronavirus sitting in their own car from someone in another car. And that was just wrong. He is under a tremendous amount of pressure, and I'm glad that I'm not making those decisions that he's having to make, because it would be very, very hard. The short answer is, while I don't agree with everything he's done, I think he's tried to generally comply with the law, although he is pushing the envelope into the area of almost being a bit dictatorial. So it's got to stop soon. He's got to get us back open soon. And we got to get the legislature in session to address this stuff.
Again, Jim Small joining us, candidate for Assembly District 2. If two-thirds of the Assembly and the State Senate agree, they can force a special session. If a special session were to be called, how broad would you want their mandate to be? There's this thing called the single subject deal where you can only talk about one subject in a special session. And I guess my question is, what would you have the legislature do?
All right. Now, the idea that someone today has a really broad concept of what we need to be doing is a bit impractical. The reason I say that's impractical is the mess we're facing pales anything that we've had to face historically. So regrettably, to say that the subject of the legislature's special session would only be providing economic relief to businesses, which would certainly be something they should be doing, is not going to be broad enough, because we're going to need to deal with the situations with the schools. We're going to be needing to deal with all the major sporting event venues and what we're doing there. It's going to have to be a broader issue than only providing economic they're going to have a broader mandate than only providing economic relief to businesses. Now, I'm not a big fan of having the governor, having the government in session all the time, having the legislature in session all the time. They can create too much mischief if they are in session regularly. But right now we're facing something we've never faced in our history before. I know some people are opposed to a special session. I know some people say, oh, they'll just tax the heck out of us. I was trying to find a nice word there, Kevin.
Thank you.
It took me a second.
My finger was on the dump button.
And I know some people are saying that, but we need to have the legislature with enough authority that they can go out there and try to do what we need to have done. Now, should there be additional taxes? No, definitely not. Businesses can't take them. Individuals can't take them. We will not survive additional taxes. What the legislature is unfortunately going to have to do is address some terribly, terribly, terribly difficult issues surrounding public service funding. Unfortunately, we're going to have to lay off some public employees. I'm not a fan of layoffs. I would hope that we could try every avenue in advance before we did that. But I don't see any way to operate our public agencies without laying off employees, and it's a terrible thing. But I don't see any other recourse, and the agencies have to be preparing for that now, and the legislature has to be prepared to make those necessary changes to the budgets, because we don't have the money. And unlike the federal government that can print up virtual money and say, here's $2 trillion, and they just made it up out of the air. I mean, it wasn't like it came from taxes. The state doesn't have that option, and we have to have a balanced budget. And it's going to be a terrible bunch of decisions that the legislature is going to have to be making.
Okay, let's talk about the reality of an election on June 9th. Normally, this time in a campaign, you'd be out there walking neighborhoods every night, knocking on doors, talking with voters. Yeah. How are you communicating with potential voters under stay-at-home orders?
All right. I understand there's at least one campaign in the Republican side, and I don't know about the Democrat side, that's still dropping off literature at homes. I don't think that's a good idea. I think more people would react negatively to that than positively. So we really can't do that. We can't go door to door right now. What we're doing is we've upped our Facebook presence, our social media presence. We're doing a lot of activity there. We are conducting, and I think we were one of the first groups to do this, a virtual meet and greet. We did the first one 6 weeks ago, early on into the pandemic stay-at-home order. Now we're doing virtual town halls. Many of the candidates are utilizing Facebook live activities. Some of them are doing it daily. Some of them are doing it only sporadically. But we're trying all those mechanisms. And we're also certainly doing the telephone call thing. What's the problem with telephone calls? The problem with telephone calls is most people are no longer answering their phones unless the person's name comes up as someone in their contacts, because there's just so many solicitors. And I know that I personally frequently don't answer a call and just listen to a voicemail message. And yes, we do drop the voicemail messages when we do that. But having someone you can actually talk to and get feedback to in a conversation is very, very valuable.
Yeah, yeah. Can I ask you, I've only got about 30 seconds. Yep. If folks want to reach out to your campaign, if they want to help you at this late date, how do they do it?
All right. They can check with us at Jim Small for Assembly 2 on Facebook, Jim Small for Assembly 2. They can call us at 702-396-6011. Or our website has the most up-to-date information regarding upcoming meetings and events through virtual events like Zoom. That's Jim4NevadaSpelledOut.com, Jim4Nevada.com. And we'll be glad to keep them informed about what's going on.
Very good, very good. Jim Small, thank you.
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you so much, my friend. We'll talk again soon. There you go, Jim Small, running for Assembly District 2 with some very positive ideas. Stick around. More to do as we continue live and local now. In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycry and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your Assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Stick around. More to do as we continue. Coming up, more from the governor. Yeah, this could get interesting. I'm going to read you some headlines from the RJ, too. Some of it's pretty positive. We'll do that and more coming up, live and local, now.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are falling in afternoon trading after President Trump threatened to slap new tariffs on China over the coronavirus crisis. And following quarterly results from tech titans Amazon and Apple, highlighting the impact the pandemic is having on big companies. Amazon posting record revenue but disappointed on profits as coronavirus-related costs added to its expenses. Its shares are falling 8% today. And Apple has held off on providing guidance for the current quarter for the first time since late 2003. Its shares are down slightly today. An industrial conglomerate Honeywell said its profits rose for the first quarter, though sales fell and the company withdrew its financial guidance for the year. Its CEO said that two new U.S. manufacturing sites for N95 masks will create 1,000 new jobs. Honeywell is also stepping up production for other personal protective equipment. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm Chris Foster. Joe Biden addressing a sexual assault accusation for the first time and saying it's just not true.
Tara Reid has gone public with her story, claiming Biden assaulted her in 1993 when he was a senator. While Biden says every woman deserves to be heard, he's calling on news organizations to evaluate the full and growing record of inconsistencies in her story. He also wants the Secretary of the Senate to go through the National Archives to see if there's any record of a complaint that Reid claims she filed.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. More country countries announced plans to ease up on coronavirus restrictions.
Parts of Australia are now allowing non-contact sport and weddings as Prime Minister Scott Morrison brings forward talks on relaxing national restrictions.
Australians have earned an early mark through the work that they have done.
Australia counting far fewer infections than the US and European countries.
Fox's Simon Owen. America's listening to Fox News.
Here's the anchorman of Goodnight America, Geraldo Rivera.
Icon, crusader, rebel. Go inside Geraldo Rivera's star-studded career.
What made me so different was that I was the first long-haired, kind of radical politics, the first hippie.
And how his reporting made him a trailblazer.
Nobody would take a story as far as I did.
Fox Nation presents I Am Geraldo, 50 years, rebel with a cause. Available now on Fox Nation, the streaming service brought to you by Fox News, now for just 99 cents.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Download Perino and Steyerwald. I'll tell you what.
The recollections of some of the accusers were vague and hazy, where Tara Reid is very specific.
Well, specificity doesn't necessarily mean...
True, but if you were somebody who thought there should be due process for Kavanaugh, right, do you think that should also happen for Joe Biden, or are you going to use it for political gain?
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
You just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
So good to have you with us. By the way, this hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by JimForNevada.com. JimForNevada.com. I want you to hear from the governor. Some of this stuff is a little bizarre. But the introduction of a brand new organization, a task force, if you will, and this was all a product of last night's press briefing, the Local Empowerment Advisory Panel. This is cut number 8. This was the governor from last night.
Under this state-managed, locally executed roadmap, the state will continue to issue statewide standards and restrictions for each phase under which individuals and businesses must operate that are based on the social distancing requirements necessary to ensure that Nevada's public health care system is able to respond to any surge from COVID-19. Only now, in an effort for Nevada to start returning to the normal structure of government decision-making, the County Commission will have an increasing responsibility for determining the manner in which businesses within its jurisdiction can open and operate in. The main requirement is that county guidance and restrictions must meet or exceed the standards set forth by the state in this new directive I will be issuing prior to entering into phase one. It would be a disservice to the residents and businesses in our state to pretend like Esmeralda County is the same as Nye County, or that Clark is the same as Elko. They're not, and that's okay. That's why our response efforts should reflect our regional differences while still operating under our shared statewide goal of keeping Nevadans safe and restarting our economy. And in order to ensure a strong state and local government partnership through each phase, I'm happy to announce the formation of the Local Empowerment Advisory Panel, or LEAP, a group of Nevada stakeholders who will serve as resource for counties as they work through the necessary requirements to reopen and share best practices and guidelines for local communities. The LEAP will also be working directly with my office to inform all future directives governing business and public life throughout each phase of this roadmap to recovery. I am pleased to have Clark County Commission Chairwoman Marilyn Kirkpatrick represent the urban counties, Eureka County Commission Chair J.J. Gokachia represent our rural counties. They will be joined by representatives from the Nevada Association of Counties, better known as NACO, the Governor's Office of Economic Development, in addition to the Director of Nevada Department of Business Industry. The LEAP will consult with business and industry representatives, work and labor organizations, public health authorities, the Nevada Hospital Association, local government representatives, state legislators, and other stakeholders as needed to help the state and our counties navigate each of the reopening phases. It's through your leadership that we will make sure that the state is managed, state-managed and locally executed roadmap is customated for every corner of Nevada, but the whole of our state remains united and healthy. I come from the counties. I am the only governor in the United States who most recently served as a county commissioner before becoming governor. I get it. I know where you're at. I uniquely understand that counties know how to get the work done. They've known what is best for their residents and what their business and residents need and how they operate. I have not and will not forget that. And now as your governor, I maintain responsibility for the health and safety of all Nevadans, and I know that it will hurt all Nevadans if any of our 17 counties are unsafe. That's why I will require all counties to submit certain criteria reports and data tracking to the LEAP and state so that we can monitor the progress through all the phases of reopening. And if we need to pause and spend some extra time and attention taking care of one of our counties, we will do just that. And we will do it together.
Okay. Now, one of the things he did, he walked back a number of different things. He had originally said it was the legislature's fault why Dieter was totally unprepared. Totally unprepared. Okay. But one of the things he did do is he did push back against the criticism of his administration and him as governor, the criticism of a lack of communication with the legislature and with the people of Nevada, who have been as much in the dark as anybody. This was cut five, and this was the governor last night at his news conference.
Well, I'm in communication with, you know, some of our legislative, with both of our legislative leaders, the majority in both party in both houses, and run things by them. You know, we continue. It's difficult for me to have 63 individual conversations in communication, which is what some people are asking for. I could spend my entire day on the phone with 63 legislators, 17 county commission chairs, not to mention how many county commissioners they are, 50 different cosmetology studios, 25 gyms, 15 hotel casino operators, and I'm on the phone and I'm not getting anything done. We're trying to do as much communication as we can. We will ramp up our communication, and I'll have my various cabinet leaders do more communicating as well.
I just, for the life of me, I just don't get that. Did we all hear him say he spoke with the leaders in the majority in both houses, but never communicated to the Republicans, to the minority? Do the minority, I mean, don't they have a right to some sort of some form of communication? This was totally unsatisfying. Now, I was looking today at the RJ and just kind of scouring the headlines. And this is something that I promised you would be a self-fulfilling prophecy. That if the governor relaxed the stay-at-home order, that the first thing that would happen is the number of cases would go up. And the state reported 229 new COVID-19 cases early today. The biggest one-day increase in more than 3 weeks. And this is what I told you would happen. That as they increased the testing, of course you're going to get more positive tests. The more you test, the more positive. I've been saying this for weeks now on this radio program. But I was looking at the headlines. I thought the headlines were interesting on the RJ website. Stores opening for curbside business under new state directive. Coronavirus. Well, let me drop to one. Sisolak says most Nevada businesses will reopen by May 15th. Do you believe that? I don't believe that. I don't believe that for an instant. Now, the question is, what happens when we... See, right now we're at phase zero. And I don't even think there is such a thing as phase zero. I think that was just something created out of whole cloth by the governor. But I love it. I love it when he talked about what phase one would look like. Let's go to cut nine. Let's go to cut nine. This is what phase... See, we're right now we're in phase zero. If there is such a thing as phase zero. And the governor said that we will get to phase one on May 15th or maybe earlier. Okay. What will that mean? The governor addressed that. I want you to hear it in context. Here is the governor from last night.
I'm going to start by walking through an overview of what you can expect in phase one, or as we will call it, our battle-borne beginning. The state will begin transitioning from community mitigation to aggressive care-based intervention efforts, where we will work to control the spread through testing individuals who may have the virus and identifying their close contacts. Most importantly, we'll continue to operate with strict social distancing guidelines. As Nevada gradually opens businesses and public life, and people who have been sheltering for weeks increase their interaction, it is absolutely essential for all of us to continue to follow the social distancing measures in place. The virus remains among us, and people infected with the virus will spread it to others when strong social distancing measures are not in use. That's why it's also critical that Nevadans continue wearing facial coverings like this, or one that you make, a bandana, or non-medical masks whenever they leave their home. Folks should also continue to stay home as much as possible and avoid all non-essential travel. When it comes to the vulnerable population in phase one and beyond, you must remain at home until the outbreak has subsided. I urge all Nevadans to remember all those who are at risk and heed to call to continue protecting them. When it comes to businesses and public life, phase one will look like this. We still won't be able to have social events, and the prohibition on public gatherings over 10 will remain in place. We'll begin opening back some outdoor spaces and small businesses under extremely aggressive social distancing measures. In other words, non-essential businesses, with some exceptions, may voluntarily reopen under restrictions. I'll get into the oversight structure in just a little bit. Standalone stores can open up under phase one, but service providers and customers should be wearing face coverings, This is extremely important. We still encourage curbside pickup or home delivery for retail stores, but customers may be able to shop in stores during phase one with certain conditions. We will consider the gradual reopening of dine-in restaurants and personal care services, but with strict guidelines to protect the health and safety of the workers and the customers. There will be thoroughly reviewed to ensure Nevadans can remain safe during this process. Here is what we won't be able to open in phase one. Bars and nightclubs will remain closed, as will malls, large sporting events, large in-person places of worship, and concerts. I know we are all looking forward to these opening up, but due to the density and risk, we will be unable to do so in phase one. And when it comes to our biggest industry, all final decisions on how gaming establishments reopen in the state of Nevada will be determined by the Nevada Gaming Control Board. They will be working closely with local health authorities and medical experts to monitor progress. Here's what I can tell you today. Gaming will not be opening at the start of phase one. We will stay in phase one for a minimum of 2 to 3 weeks, the recommended time frame necessary to evaluate trends in cases and hospitalizations as we relax restrictions.
Okay. They have it. That's what phase one looks like. And the governor has said it will be implemented on or before May 15th. But I'm going to tell you something. There are going to be more tests, and with more tests will come more positives, more cases. And to me, the whole idea of opening up the economy is to get people back to work. More to come as we continue. We'll let you hear more from the governor. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open up our phone lines real quick at 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I was underwhelmed by what the governor said. I did notice he was wheezing like crazy, like he needed some antihistamine or something. I hope he's not sick. We want the governor to stay healthy. He's got an important role to play. We will get to your phone calls coming up. What did you think of what the governor said? Did you buy into his roadmap to recovery? We'll see what you think. 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. Your calls coming up next, live and local now.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
Hello, I'm Steven Silverkraus, candidate for University Region District 3. As a state assemblyman, I fought and passed major education reforms. As a regent, I'll continue the fight to modernize and improve our state's universities and colleges. Silverkraus might be hard to spell, but it's nothing compared to how hard I'll work for you. For more information, check out my website at silverkraus.com. That's silverkraus.com. S-I-L-B-E-R-K-R-A-U-S.com. Paid for by Friends for Steven Silverkraus.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
As a woman and a mom, sometimes you just have to take a stand. Take Dan Rodimer, who's running for Congress. You kidding me? Rodimer's violent criminal record is an immediate disqualifier. Rodimer has been arrested for violent assaults 3 times. In one case, Rodimer admitted guilt to battery. Another Rodimer attack was so horrific, his victim had intracranial bleeding. A witness at one attack told police Rodimer bragged he liked to hurt people. And an arrest warrant described Rodimer as armed or dangerous. But there's more. A police report detailed Rodimer's harassment of a teenage girl, while another exposed Rodimer was investigated for a domestic incident. It's bad enough Rodimer was sued for forgery, fraud, and for not paying his taxes. But violent assaults and harassing women? That's unforgivable. Paid for and authorized by Friends of Dan Schwartz.
I'm Dan Schwartz, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
I love it. It's Friday. We are getting closer to phase one, the governor's phase one. We'll talk about that as we go along. Let's go to Judy. Judy, you're up and you're on Live and Local now. Go right ahead. What'd you think of what the governor said last night?
Well, Kevin, I think it's ridiculous because I was telling your gentleman that took my call. I was in line at Arby's yesterday for 45 minutes. Off of Nellis Boulevard, there were only about 8 cars in line that I could guess. But before I went to Arby's, I was over at the shopping center where the In-N-Out Burger was, and there were 25 cars in line to get food at In-N-Out Burger. So I don't know how in the world you can have curbside pickup. There isn't enough curb. I mean...
Well, and now wait a minute. What if other businesses start opening up? It's going to cause a traffic jam in these parking lots as people come and sit and wait for people to bring the stuff out to them. I just don't know how this is going to work. So call me a skeptic. It's one thing to say, well, we'll try curbside service, but if you're going to cause congestion in these small strip mall locations, it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare.
I think Sysolak must own a lot of stock in Amazon because people are just not going to even shop at these stores and do curbside. They're just going to order online. So that's my take on it.
Thanks. There you go. Thanks, Judy. Appreciate it. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. Just $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and $529 for a family. It's mom and dad and all the kids. Call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or check it out yourself on your smartphone right now at libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. A lot of folks I know are facing the prospect of losing not only their job, but also their benefits. And that means your family may not be covered. You need to get coverage, and you need to get it now. Check it out again, libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. Now, I want you to hear from the governor, because I guess the number one focus group tested problem involves hair salons and nail places. Let's go to cut six. This was the governor saying that hairstyling and other industry reps will have to come up with a plan before they can reopen, but they could reopen as early as May 15th. Listen to this.
For salons, hair stylists, manicurists, eyebrows, whatever that might be, they cannot do in-home per their licenses. They cannot do in-home. I don't know how you do a haircut on the curb. I mean, I don't know how that would work. I'm relying on the cosmetology board with Director Brown to come up with a proposal how to do this safely. Different states have done it different ways. This isn't, you know, this is a best practice, whatever they can come up with. I want to open up all of these businesses, but it's not business as normal. You can no longer have 24 people in a 500-square-foot salon getting their hair cut or their nails done. It's simply not going to work. So they have to come up with a plan to move forward in a safe and reasonable manner, and that's what we're relying on.
Here's what I think is going to have to happen. I think some of these smart businesses will end up having a small, and they're not all that expensive, as I recall, little FM transmitter or AM transmitter, doesn't matter. Churches have used them forever to transmit their services to drive-ins and things like that. And that ultimately it'll be a thing where you park in the parking lot, and when your food order is ready, they'll say, "Kevin, your food order is ready." And the curbside guy comes out, you go give him the money, he gives you the food, transaction is done. That something like that will have to be put in place. Anyway, coming up, how did this whole thing play last night with Northern Nevada? Rico Aller, the owner of Carson Insulation, will join us coming up next. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart, but our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit hammondfornevada.com/COVID-19. That's hammondfornevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
790 KBET, Winchester, Las Vegas. Talk now!